Exodus chapter 5. I'd like to read from Exodus chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" The words that are on my heart this morning is where Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Who is the Lord? That's the main words that are on my heart is, who is the Lord? I asked someone in Bible study that question, and he gave me a very good answer. He described God to a great degree. If I were to ask you this morning, you stand up right now and you tell me, who is God? Who is God? Who is the Lord God? Okay, that would be one definite answer that we could give. The Lord God is Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about these words, who is God and who is the Lord God this week, I wrote down something to try to just in a few minutes or just a couple of minutes, just to write down who God is. I wrote down that God is an infinite, personal, eternal spirit who created the universe by his power. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and omnipresent at all times. He lives eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then I thought about, I don't know if that means anything or not. That doesn't really explain all that God is. That's part of what God is. And I went from that statement all the way back to my childhood, and the first prayer, one of the first prayers that I ever prayed was, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. So, the beginning of that prayer that we asked at, as young children at mealtime, the beginning of that prayer defines God. God is great, and God is good. That's one way you could define who is God. God is great, and God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. God is perfect in every way. So it sometimes is difficult to just answer the question, who is God? Yet I think we need to all think about that question, and we need to have in our minds some answer to the question of who is the Lord God? Who is our God? We need to think about our God. When Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and told him that the Lord God of Israel has said, let my people go that they may serve me, that was Pharaoh's response. Who is the Lord God that I should obey him? There was no fear. There was no fear in Pharaoh's heart about God. He did not fear God because he did not know God. In fact, after he said, who is the Lord God that I should obey his voice, the next statement that Pharaoh made is, I know not the Lord. Well, that's true of a lot of people. I don't think there's anybody here that fully comprehends God. God is beyond our comprehension. We can read a lot in the Word of God and learn a lot about God, and we need to do that. And that's what we're going to primarily do this morning, is look at what God's Word has to say about who is God. What does the Word of God declare about God? We need to know not just some of the things, but we need to know all that God's Word has to say about God. We need to know who God is, and we need to be able to tell others who God is. This sister said, when I said, who is God? She said, Jesus Christ. That's a good answer. I want to begin this morning by thinking about who God is not. Sometimes it helps me to know what something is by first looking at the negative and thinking about, well, what is God not? Very good. God is not a liar. Turning your Bibles to Numbers chapter 23. Brother Neil said that God is not a liar. Look at Numbers chapter 23 and let's see what God is not. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man. Isn't that important for you to remember? God is not a man. You see, if somebody says to me, go to town and buy something for me, if I don't know God and I don't care about people, it would depend on who told me to go do it. There are some people that their only feeling is that it's man to man, and if you tell me to do something, it depends on whether you're stronger or more important than I am as to whether or not I will do it. And so the Scripture sets forth this truth about God, about who is God, and by saying God is not a man. If Brother Richard Lee were to tell me to get down on my knees and give him 10 push-ups, I would probably try to get down on my knees and give him 10 push-ups. Why? Tell me, just as a man. Just forgetting that I am a man, or forget that I'm a preacher and he and I are brothers. He's just a man. Why would I get down on my knees and try to give him 10 push-ups? Say it again. Well, maybe to prove, but actually the reason would be because he's about 4 or 5 inches taller than I am. He's a lot younger than I am, and he's stronger than I am. And therefore, because he is a man, but he's a bigger and stronger man than I am, I would do what he said. Does everybody follow that? Sometimes we do what men say because of their position or their power or their authority, and therefore we will obey a man because of who the man is. And God's word says, now God is not a man. Doesn't matter how big a man is, God is not just a man. God is not a man that he should lie. Now that brings out what Brother Neil has said is that God cannot lie. Isn't that something we need to know about God? God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Probably everyone in this building has lied at one time or another, but God cannot lie. God not only has not ever lied, he never will lie. God cannot tell a lie. That's something important to know about God. Because when I read the Word of God and I read all the things that God said, I know that his promises are true and that God cannot lie. That's something I need to know about God. God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, if God says, I'm going to do something, it's going to be done. How many of you believe that if God says that he's going to do something, that it will happen? Well, that's something we need to know about God. That whatever he says, he will do it. That's something that Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to himself, that's something that Nebuchadnezzar declared about God. He declared how great God is and how little man is. He declared the greatness of God, that God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's a sovereign God. That's what we need to know. That's one thing we need to know about God, is that God is a sovereign God, that God is all powerful and God is all wise, and God does as he pleases, and God gives answer to no man. Is that important to know about God? And I turn to Deuteronomy, and let's look at some other things. Just, we're going to look at 3 or 4 things in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice please verse 24. And please follow this in your Bibles. You'll get much more out of this if you'll look at God's Word and remember things as we go along. Remember, who is God is the question. Remember who God is and remember who God is not. We'd mentioned from Numbers 23 that God is not a man, that God cannot lie. God is, the Scripture also says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The Scripture says God is not mocked God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what God said. God is not mocked. That's what will happen. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. The Word of God says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Is that something we need to know about God? Is that God is a jealous God? Have you ever known a man that just didn't care what his wife did? She could go and do anything. I've known couples that had this kind of agreement that you do what you want to and I'll do what I want to. You live your life and I'll live my life. Now that kind of relationship is void of love. Because if I love my wife, I'm going to be jealous about her doing some things. There are things I don't want her to do. And if she loves me, she's not going to do those things that I don't want her to do. And the Scripture says here that our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. God is jealous over His people. God will not allow His people to walk contrary to His Word and His way without Him bringing His wrath in their lives. God is a consuming fire. Is that something we need to remember? You know what many people will say when you hear those words, God is a consuming fire, or God is a jealous God, or God is a God of wrath, or any other number of statements that the Word of God gives us similar to this, that our God is a consuming fire, and our God is a jealous God. Do you know what many people will say? Give me an answer of what you think some people would say if you say that. Okay, God is love, and God is love, and we're going to get to that. But that would be sometimes their response. They say, well, no, the God I serve is not a God to fear. The God I serve is not a consuming fire. The God you're talking about is the God of the Old Testament. Brethren, Hebrews 12:29 repeats the exact same words as are right here, that our God is a consuming fire. God has not changed. I think that's one of the saddest things in the world, is for people to read about God in the Old Testament and think that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. That's something else we need to remember about God, is that God does not change. And if God did not condone homosexuality in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, we need to know and understand that God still does not condone that today. And every other truth that's in God's Word, God has not changed. And God will always deal with His people when they walk contrary to His Word. He'll always deal with them in the same way. You can mark it down that God does not change. And that our God is a consuming fire, and our God is a jealous God, and our God is not going to let us walk contrary to His Word and to His will and to His way. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Word of God tells us something else about God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen please to verses 13 through 15. Tell me first, just to be sure you're remembering as we go along, God is not what? God is not what? Okay, God is not a liar. God is not a man. God is not mocked. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Those are some things God is not. Now tell me something that God is. God is, what have we looked at so far? God is jealous. God is a jealous God. God is a consuming fire. God is a righteous God. God is a holy God. God is a perfect God. Now listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. The Word of God says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you." Gods, little g. Are there little gods? Were there, let me back up. Were there little gods in the day that these words were written, in the day that Moses penned these words? were there little gods? Have there always been little gods? Are there still little gods today? And he says here, now, all the people around you, they have their little gods, and the warning is, don't go after their gods. You are to only have me. I am the one true and living God. And so he says, you better fear the Lord your God and don't serve those other gods. Then in verse 15, he says this. He tells us the reason that we had better fear God. He says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Did God destroy the people that he's writing these words to? Did he destroy the children of Israel that he penned these words to right here? Did he destroy them? Were they destroyed in the wilderness? Did they perish in the wilderness? Why did God destroy them? He destroyed them because they did not fear him and they did not obey him. Unbelief. Come down to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. That's another statement about God that we need to remember. It's another truth about God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, the Word of God says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Is that important? Is that something we need to remember about God? The Lord our God is one Lord. I remember in Columbus, Georgia, when I first started preaching, I had a member of the church that came to me, Sister Sarah Wilfalaw, and she said, Brother Billy, I want you to preach about the triune God. And being a young preacher, you know it all when you're young. I said, I'll be glad to. And a few weeks later, after I had studied and studied about the triune God and the one true and living God, I got up to preach about the triune God and to also preach the oneness of God. The Lord, our God, is one God. He is not three gods. He is one God. But there are three persons in the Godhead. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three, what does the Scripture say? These three are one. Now, let me tell you something. The human mind cannot comprehend God. I got up and tried to preach that. I remember well trying to preach that there is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. And I preached that for a while. And then I thought, you know, I'm leaving out the triune God. And so I started preaching that there is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And before I knew it, I was preaching that there are three gods. And I finally just said, I'm sorry, I cannot completely describe God, and sat down. It's 36 years later and I still can't completely describe God. But I know that it's true that there are three persons in the Godhead and these three are one. And the Lord our God is one God. He is one God. Need to remember that about God. Who is God? The Lord our God is one God. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is the last Old Testament scripture that we look at. But please look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. There's a statement here about God that's very important. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, there are actually four or five statements here about God that we need to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, just reading verse 17. The Word of God says, for the Lord your God is God of gods. Now what does that tell you about God? He is God of God. There are all these little gods in the world, but the one we're talking about is the God of God. Do you know who the God of Buddha is? It's the Lord our God. You know who the God of every other little God that's ever been on the face of this earth? You know who the God of all those gods is? Our Lord is the God of gods. He is the God of gods and Lord of lords. And then he says he's a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. Is God a respecter of persons? Scripture, Old and New Testament says God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what my name is. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what name you put outside the building of the church. God's not going to honor a church just because of the name outside the building. He's not going to honor a church just because of who goes to that church. God is no respecter of persons. We need to remember that. It's very important. There are no little I's and big U's in the Church of Jesus Christ. Go with me to the New Testament now. Let's turn very quickly to the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 3. I'll just mention a couple of things from the New Testament about God. John chapter 3 in verse 33, the Word of God makes this statement about God. I told Teresa last night, I said, you know, the most difficult thing I'm going to have tomorrow is that it's going to almost sound like a hundred different pieces or 100 different little statements about God. But what I want you to, I pray that the Spirit of God would combine all these together so that you can get a big picture of who is God. Now, do you think, how many of you think I can finish this morning? How many of you think I can finish it tonight? How many of you think I can finish it in my lifetime? I cannot in my entire lifetime ever finish preaching about how great God is. But we need to get some concept of who God is. We need to look at God's Word because my concept of God, unless I study the Word of God, my concept of God, my idea about God may be completely wrong. I've had people say, the God that I serve wouldn't do what you're talking about. Well, the God of the Bible is different than the God that a lot of people serve and know. We need to know who is God. And the only way you'll ever really know who God is not just by praying, and not by thinking, and not by meditating, but the way that you come to know the real God is by studying His Word, and by believing everything in the Word of God. Who is God? John 3 verse 33, the Word of God says, He that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. Now that's similar to the first thing that we said, that God is not a liar. God is true. God is true. And everything God says is true. God is true. He is the God of truth. And He is the true God. And He's the only true and living God. That's important to remember about God, is that God is true. Next page, John 4. One other statement here, and then we'll go to, in closing, to 1 John in closing. But look at John chapter 4, verse 24. John 4, verse 24. The Word of God says this about God is. God is, the Scripture says, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can you worship Him in truth without feeling the presence of the Spirit of God? Absolutely. Can you worship Him and think you feel the Spirit of God but not have the truth? Absolutely. What does it take to worship God? It takes a combination. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Both are absolutely necessary. Now go with me in closing to 1 John. Three little books at the end of the New Testament, just before Jude and Revelation. You have 1 John. I want to read from 1 John chapter 1. Here's something else that the Word of God says is. God is. Question that we're looking at this morning is, who is God? The statement that we're looking at now is, God is. God is true. God is. The Scripture we're going to look at now says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, the Scripture says, God is light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, what do you think is the meaning of the declaration that God is light? What does the word light represent here? Name some things. Represents a lot of things. God is light. What does the word light represent? Truth, okay, that's one thing. What else? Say it again. Okay, God, see, light, what does light do? What does light do? It reveals things. It opens things up. It makes you be able to see things. So, if God is light, He's the one who reveals things to us. He shows us things. Whenever Peter was asked, who is Jesus? His response is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The only reason Peter understood that truth is because the light shined on him. You ever had the light shine? You ever had the light come on? Have you ever studied the Word of God? Have you ever been taught the Word of God and all of a sudden the light came on? I'm telling you, the only one that can give you light is the source of all light. And that is God. And God is light. He does reveal to us. What else is God? God is light. What else does that mean? Well, you go home and think about it. One more thing in closing. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The Word of God says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Do you know where we would be if God was not love? Do you know what would happen to us if God did not love us with an everlasting love? Do you know we would spend eternity in hell if God was not love? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's love, to give your only begotten Son. The Word of God says in Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love beyond my comprehension. God loves you more than you have ever been loved by anyone else. My wife loves me. My mama loves me. I think my children love me. And I think my grandchildren love me. But if you take all them combined, they don't love me as much as God loves me, and nobody loves you as much as God loves you. God is love. May God help us to thank the Lord, our God, who has penned these words to help us understand the truth about who is God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.